This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Welcome back to the Glow Show. I'm Will, your Glow presenter again for another episode, and I am once again joined by leading senior constable Gabrielle Tyack. Gabby, how are you going?
Hi, always happy to be here with you, Will.
I know, it wouldn't be the Glow Show without you. And we're also joined by Jennifer Dixon. How are you today, Jen?
Hi, Will. Very good. Thanks for having me.
And we have two wonderful guests in the studio today talking about a very important topic, family violence. Would you like to introduce them, Gabby?
Yes. Well, we have Elise Douglas and Anthony Mercer. He's Detective Senior Sergeant. Elise, you're...
A Detective Acting Sergeant at Family Violence Task Force.
Exactly. And so family violence is very topical, always has been, and we're making sure to do a lot of work to ensure that people in all communities can firstly identify what family violence is and then feel comfortable and confident in reporting to police.
Fascinating. Now, Anthony and Elise, I'll ask you one at a time, but how long have you been in the police force and how did you end up in the current role? In family violence.
Yeah, thanks for having us, first of all. This is my 28th year with Victoria Police, so it's gone enormously quickly. For the last 9 years, I've been working in sexual assault, child abuse, and now in family violence. So I've been performing this current role for over 2 years now, where I manage a small but very experienced task force working on extreme high-risk family violence perpetrators and repeat family violence victims. So that's what predominantly we do. But the reason why I do it is it's incredibly rewarding work. I really enjoy it. It is incredibly difficult, really challenging, and you have to know yourself really well in this work. You have to know how the work makes you feel, how you're responding to the work, but also so that you can remain empathetic to the people that you are working for. So we want our family violence, sexual assault and child abuse investigators to be empaths, so for them to have a high degree of empathy. One of the challenges with asking people to be empathetic is that they absorb the work.
Yeah,
it's difficult not to do that. So what we need to do as managers is we need to make sure that our people are healthy and that they're doing the work well and that they're focused on the reasons why we do the work, and that's for victims.
Elise, you've been in the police force for how long?
Not quite as long as Anthony. This is my 12th year with Victoria Police, and I've recently come from the Armed Crime Squad, where I was a detective there dealing with, you know, a lot of high-profile robberies and kidnappings and serious assaults. I found within that area and throughout my career, really, that my passion has been mainly around family violence and engaging with victims where there's a certain degree of reluctance, be that external or internal reasons, that they're sort of delay coming forward or reporting. And as Anthony said, that empathy with our victims is really, really important, and being able to clearly express ourselves and make sure that our victims are being understood by Victoria Police. That was what eventually drew me across into the family violence crime theme, and really excited by the opportunity to move forward in that area.
You mentioned empathy, and it dawns on me very quickly that working in this department and dealing with the issues that you deal with, it would be a very high stress, very high emotional role that you do within the Victorian Police Force. How do you deal with that, and what kind of person do you look for to come into your department? I mean, it's certainly a department that doesn't really have much levity, I would say.
Yeah, it's really important that we are recruiting the right people and the right members into the family violence crime theme. And it's really something that we want our members to be passionate in relation to that crime theme, because it's very emotional. And when you invest with your victims and you need to build the rapport and you need to give them the time and the comfort to come forward and confide in you with experiences and events and points of crisis that have been really difficult for them in their lifetime, or for them, you know, more recently in family violence relationships. So it can take its toll on you, because naturally as an empath, you associate and you put yourself in your victim's shoes and, you know, you're finding a way forward. So you just really need to temper the fact that you might be taking some stuff on board, but the ultimate goal is to give our victims what they are looking for through the judicial process. And that's not always going through to court. That's sometimes just having the whole story heard and having their position heard.
What changes have you seen, Anthony, over the past decade within the Family Violence Department?
Yeah, I think one of the greatest changes is that we have dedicated family violence service providers in every region. So every region has a dedicated family violence team. The beauty about that is that they're supported by 28 sexual assault and child abuse investigation teams across the region too. So with family violence, sexual assault and child abuse, sometimes they're all very intrinsically linked to each other. And then at other times, they aren't, so you can act independently. But Victoria Police is now looking at specialising the family violence team. So by the end of 2020, there'll be around about 400 additional positions created for specialist family violence investigators in every region, both in rural and metropolitan locations, which I think is an incredibly important improvement. But we're having much more open, transparent family violence conversations from uniformed members all the way through to command. We're talking about the fact that family violence is incredibly important. I think last year, Victoria Police attended something around 80,000 calls for family violence, and we know that family violence is underreported. So if you look at that as a raw figure alone, family violence is an incredibly important part of Victoria Police's business. And the way that we're going towards policing that has improved, has escalated, and the fact that you've got a dedicated family violence command within Victoria Police, which we represent, shows that Victoria Police is really committed and that we've come a long way. Just the conversation alone shows that.
One of the things that was raised, the importance of, is community reporting.
Yep. One of the biggest things that we find is every police member within Victoria Police receives family violence training in their initial package. But also there's a Centre for Family Violence being created at the Academy at the moment so that people can have an absolute emphasis on family violence. But one of the things that our managers focus on out in the regions is making sure that every family violence attendance by every uniformed police member, by every detective or by every specialist is treated on its merits. So that everyone is encouraged to tell their story no matter what the end outcome might be. So what that means is the victim owns the story and they own the response. So we encourage them to tell us their story. So the initiative in uniform policing is to make sure that every attendance at family violence is recorded accurately. They are told that whatever the response is deemed that they find appropriate will be facilitated, whether that's through service providers, whether it's through financial or emotional assistance, or whether it's through investigation. We're now making sure that every police member understands the victim owns the story. So they own the report. So what we want to be is we want to be a facility for them to get whatever services that they need, whatever protections that they need, whether that's through intervention orders or through other intervention it might be. The majority of people take about 7 times to formally report to police. Roughly about 7 times. That's what we know. So we want to make sure that all of those interactions with the Victoria Police leading into the formal report are positive. If you don't want to formally report, you actually don't have to. But we want to encourage you to tell us your story so that we can record that story so that next time we come, we know part of your story already. And we can also facilitate the fact that you don't have to keep telling us the same story over and over again.
Which can be a challenge for anybody.
For police and, more importantly, for victims to have to tell their story over and over again. Especially when people may say, I rang the police 3 weeks ago and I told them that X had happened. And we look at our records and X wasn't recorded. That can't be acceptable. And what we need to make sure is that we have an accurate and timely recording of all family violence incidents so that if we do need to intervene as a police organisation, and there are times when we have to, we are actually in possession of the right facts. Especially if a victim is unable to report to us in totality because of the situation that they're in. They may be frightened, it may be violent, they may be scared, they may be all sorts of stuff. And if we refer to LGBTI, and I know we spoke to it before, you've got all of those other issues going on about you may not necessarily have told your family and you're in a relationship that anyone doesn't know about. And also the police may not be able to determine who the actual victim is and who the perpetrator is through the behaviour at the event. So what we need to make sure is that we're recording accurately every single time and we're making sure that victims understand they own the reporting process. What can we do to help you? There are times when we'll need to act. We're legislated and we're also morally obliged. There are times when we'll need to act and we will converse with the victim about that. But the majority of the time, the victim has the say in what happened.
No, that's fascinating. And you also briefly mentioned LGBTI. So how does family violence and our LGBTI community fit in?
Well, what I'll say off the bat, and this will be a comment that doesn't necessarily make sense straight away, but they are part of the community as everyone is.
Yep.
So we don't necessarily see them in our organisation necessarily as different, but they are special in the sense that we have to understand that there are nuances within the LGBTI community that don't necessarily apply to the rest of the community, in the sense that there are so many other contingencies in an LGBTI relationship that we have to understand create barriers to natural reporting, whether that's through perceived or real stigma, whether that's through financial, emotional, family ostracization. There are so many different things to think about in that environment that, as an organization, we're now training or starting to train in ways to try and communicate those barriers when we identify an LGBTI relationship. It doesn't always get identified to us. Sometimes we must identify that ourselves. What's the language that we need to use? What's the approach that we need to use? And how do we provide a level of comfort to them that we are able to understand some of those nuances, but also break down the barriers to at least come forward, be brave, tell us the story, then we'll try and help you with what those barriers are later on. But we won't be able to do that if we're not identifying it and we're not compassionate to it, and we need to make sure that the organisation is across all of the nuances that LGBTI brings.
I might just add to that as well, Anthony. So obviously the organisation is putting focus towards LGBTI family violence, but one thing that we've found interesting is that when we're talking to community about family violence, there is a lot of misunderstanding within community about what family violence is and when it plays out, just as you were using some of those unique examples that are specific to LGBTI. So I guess what we're trying to do as an organisation is quite proactive, trying to be on the front foot of extending those conversations with community to say, look, this is actually something that, you know, many people experience. Some people might not know that it's occurring to them. Unfortunately, in a lot of conversations externally, family violence tends to be quite gendered. And even the word family, I guess, is somewhat problematic for LGBTI community, because not everybody will see themselves as part of that demographic, even though we are and they are. So I guess for us, it's, the external communication is really important. And just as Anthony was saying, we sometimes attend jobs where it's very unclear about who the victim and who the perpetrator is. So there's a lot of opportunities for us to, I guess, work with community and to engage so that people do feel comfortable to know that, A, that something is occurring that shouldn't be, and that they could actually feel safe enough to report.
Yeah. Now, if I was a police officer and I wanted to join the family violence unit,
yes,
A, what's involved, and what sort of training or specific training does a police officer receive upon joining?
The really exciting thing for Victoria Police at the moment is that we're going through a transitional phase when it comes to family violence investigations and training our members and strengthening our police force as a whole towards all aspects of family violence across all of our communities. So in the next few years leading up to 2020, we're actually going to have family violence specialised detectives, which is going to complement our sex offence investigators that we have already positioned in our socket teams. So we're applying and hoping that people within Victoria Police who have a passion for family violence will be attracted to those positions, and they'll get to do their detective training school, their sex offence investigations, which is another really exciting course that we have within Victoria Police, and all the adequate internal training that you need to be able to be a really strong investigator. So if you were in Victoria Police, and or even if you're not, and you can just start from a recruit and make your way up to the family violence team, you know, it's a really exciting time for our investigators, and particularly those that are passionate about family violence and the impact that it has, because it is a community issue. So although Victoria Police are the criminal body, if you like, in terms of investigating family violence and criminal offences within the community, we rely on all aspects of the community to contribute and to support and to unite in overcoming family violence in our plan to rid it completely within all aspects of the community.
What are some of your long-term goals for the Family Violence Department for the next 10 years?
So one of the unique things about family violence and sexual assault is sometimes when you see an increase in reporting, it can be alarming because people think that we've got an enormous problem. But sometimes our organisation sees an increase in reporting, and I personally do, as a positive, because what it means is that people are starting to step forward and they're starting to have faith in the process and probably in the organisations that deal with it. So we don't work in isolation. Victoria Police couldn't possibly combat family violence in isolation. So we work with, I couldn't tell you how many, but 30 plus sector service providers across the state to try and combat family violence as a community issue. So what we've got in the future is We will be working in multi-discipline centres where sexual assault and family violence crisis support will be housed under the same roof. So victims or survivors of family violence or sexual assault will be able to come into Victoria Police and basically effectively go to a one-stop shop. They'll be able to receive police assistance, community support and sector service provider counselling and all those other things that they need to assist them in whatever their rehabilitation process from family violence might be. So there are a number of key initiatives that Victoria Police are looking at in relation to family violence, and the escalation of experienced family violence units in the regions is one which Elise touched on. But one is the introduction of family violence teams into multidiscipline centres where victims will not have to tell their story to three different sector service providers over three different days. They're all in the same place. And I think that's an incredibly important part of that. If I can single into LGBTI just for a moment, I think in those multidiscipline centres, the inclusion of GLOWs or the inclusion of LGBTI ambassadors in those MDCs will be vital. That's my personal opinion.
This department is a very serious one, and I imagine that the GLOWs dovetail and have a very serious role to play in this department. Not only within, but certainly externally.
Yeah, I guess a lot of our work will be about, as it already is about making sure the community are aware what family violence is, so that they can identify it and then address it. And by addressing it, I mean by going to services for assistance and going to the police to make reports. So I guess once this all comes into place in the next year or two, GLOWs will be essential in promoting the services that we have, but also providing support. So GLOWs can be part of those support that is provided to victims of family violence.
And many GLOWs attend a number of programs and events and all kinds of community engagements. And that's where a lot of the informal conversations take place, and I guess a lot of intel is gathered, and GLOWs can find out certain things that are occurring within the community that may or may not be reported or discussed at a more formal level. So there's a really good opportunity, as Anthony says, for the GLOWs and the family violence units to work together, because they, you know, anecdotally and sometimes even professionally have that kind of advice that they could feed into the units.
If I can just carry on from that in one way, the messaging that we try and use is family violence sometimes can be a confusing term for some people, because if you can't see it, it didn't happen. In other words, if it's not visible, it sort of hasn't occurred. So there's a term that we use quite regularly, and it's relationship crime. So if there's a relationship involved in it, it tends to be family violence, but and they can be linked towards each other. So family violence is control, manipulation, you know, emotional control. It comes in so many different forms. So people may be in a relationship that they don't identify, and we get this all the time, but he didn't hit me or she didn't hit me.
Yeah.
Defined by physical or sexual violence.
Yeah. We think of physically being hit, but there is emotional.
Absolutely. And I think it's very important for people to understand that within relationships, there's all sorts of control manipulation can take place without you really even knowing it. But if it is in a relationship setting, then it is a relationship crime, which means by proxy it can be called family violence. But violence isn't necessarily the main element of the crime. And a lot of our very high-risk family violence perpetrators that we're dealing with as a task force, there's not a lot of violence in some of them, but it's manipulation, coercion, it's control.
And would I also be correct in surmising that it's not only vertical when once again, when people think of family violence, we're not just talking about my brother and sister, my mother and my father.
That's right.
Or my husband and my wife, but it's also maybe people that we are engaging relationships with. So it can work on vertically as well. Is
correct.
That correct?
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, fascinating. Listen, you do really challenging work. I admire what you do. I think I couldn't do it. I think I'd be an emotional wreck, but you need to be really proud of the work that you do. And well, thank you very much, Anthony and Elise, for spending the time and talking about probably
a
difficult subject, but I think something that does need to be talked about among all communities as well as our own.
So. That's right. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to combat family violence is to get the conversation started in all areas of our community and make sure that all our community bodies are engaged in this process and, you know, we'll be really successful in this space.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. And Jennifer and Gabrielle, once again.
Thanks, Will. Thanks for having us.
Oh, and don't forget to download the podcast.
Yes,
share the podcast, subscribe and rate it.
And tell it among all your friends and work colleagues, and a great way of getting some great information out there.
Yeah, and more importantly, if you believe you may be a victim of family violence, make sure you talk to someone.
Correct. And you can get the podcasts from Apple iTunes or from the Joy website, joy.org.au.
Correct.
Thank you very much once again. You've been listening to The GLOW Show. You have yourself a good day. Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/theglowshow to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.